Blog Talk Radio.
Good day and welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle V.W. Jones Sr. right here on the Proceeding Word. So glad to be with you and understanding that this is a day that Yahweh our Elohim has made. I will rejoice. You should. Come on, let's do it together. Let's rejoice and be glad in Him. There is no day like today on the planet ever again. There will be no day like this day. You've not experienced a day like this day. You won't see another day like this day in the rest of your entire life. And the beauty of this is that His purpose, His plan, and His purpose and His destiny for you is to walk in that place and walk in that space that He has designed for you before. He understood everything about you before you even knew yourself. That's the beauty of who He is. Now, does that mean that He knows who's going to make heaven and He knows who's going to make hell because He knew you before the foundation of the world? No, that's not what that means. But what it does indict is that He knows enough about you to always try to help you bring yourselves to a place where you can allow His grace and His mercy to actually find your way. Yep, that's what He does. He helps us. He serves us. That's why the Bible declares Yeshua came in the earth not to be served, but to serve. His purpose is to present us faultless before the Father, and doing that through grace and truth. Well, it's a wonderful day. I am excited. The sun shines. Some have rain. Some have wind. Some have overcast, but you have life. And in all the circumstances we endeavor and we endure, we have life, His life, that great life, that life that makes me and makes you consider all that we are. It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. And what we actually do is we look at him, we understand how he is and what he means to us, what he wants to be in us, how he wants to function in us. And the more we become to understand that, the greater, and I do mean the greater, our lives become. Because the more we press into who he is and what he wants from us, the more we begin to experience the purpose for why we literally live. His grace more than sufficient. All hell can come against you. The whole world can push at you. But at the end of the day, Yahweh's got you covered. If you trust in him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, that's what he wants. He wants your soul. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your service. He wants your soul. Yep, that's what the war is over. That's what the enemy of your faith wants you to lose, your soul. What profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his very soul? So I want you today to embrace and understand the realities that the war for your life comes from the procurement of your soul. And we give our souls away by the things we say, the things we do, the places we go, the activities we engage upon. And Yahweh himself is constantly trying to give us a look and a book of instructions to tell us that these are the ways that I expect of you. And sometimes we fall short of that, but he always has the ram in the bush. Oh, hallelujah. We are so grateful for that concept and idea. So I want you to keep this in mind today as you study with us. I want you to grab your neighbor, your cousin, get somebody that doesn't know the word like you know it, or get somebody who does know the word like you know it, and let them know that the proceeding word is on the air. I mean that. Go to your Twitter. Go to your inbox. Go find someplace. Tweet somebody. Text somebody. Inbox them. However you need to do it. Throw a rock across the lake. Knock on the door next door as you go into the elevator. Go to the elevator. Just hit all the doors on your floor and say, hey, the proceeding word is on the air, and then remind them, you're going to learn today. Yeah, it's going to be one of those kind of days, and I'm excited about it. So all of you that are getting out of school, we have the summertime upon us, and we know that you're trying to do, live, and walk in the purpose and the understanding of Elohim. I want you to keep this in mind, that there is so much for you and I to embrace and so much for you and I to see. That the more we actually look at who Yahweh our Elohim is, the greater we begin to realize that there is so much more to what he wants from us, that as we prepare ourselves for, I think this is important, as we prepare ourselves for what it is that he wants of us, as we prepare ourselves for why he wants us, and the way that his style of wanting us actually looks and the way of his wanting us actually plays out, we start to see that the stuff we do isn't what he requires. And that, again, is about giving him your soul. Thus, Proverbs tries to tell us very clearly, acknowledge him in all your way, and I tell you the truth, he will direct your path. Yep, that's the truth. I didn't get it for a while. I thought it was just cute. Yeah, I just thought it was a cute phrase, you know. It's cute, you acknowledge him in all your way and he will direct your path. No, it's so true. It's enormously, ridiculously true. He will direct your path. And if he's directing your path, then, man, you won't go the wrong way. I don't know about you, but I've gone the wrong way a few times. Anybody know what it means to go the wrong way and wish God you had gone the right way? Yeah, we all do it. Everybody's done it. So now let's understand this with clarity. There is a plan for your life. There is a purpose for why Yahweh, our Elohim, has given you and prepared you in such a dynamic way for how to live in earth. You didn't come here on your own. Nope. Your mom and dad are not the real reason that you're here. That's right. They're not the reason you exist in the earth. No. the Father, he knew the time in which he wanted to push you forward. So all the hell you feel you're going through, all the drama, the disappointment, and all the bad people you've met in your life, all the great people you've met in your life, all the ups and downs in your emotions, all the ups and downs in your finances, all the ups and downs in your aspirations, all of that. He controls the timing in which you were put into the earth. So everything that you do is based on either you giving him your soul or you taking your soul into your own hands. Let me give you a hint. The worst thing we as a people can ever do is allow for Elohim to give us over to ourselves. We don't know how to function as believers. We don't know how to function as humans on the planet. Forget the believer part. We don't even know how to function as humans on the planet. Without him, we literally can do nothing. But because of him, all things are not only possible, but all things are already, watch this, prepared. The issue becomes like Adam doing what he said to do. When Adam made it on the earth was prepared for him. He and many of us did our own thing. And when we did our own thing, we said things our own ways, we talked in our own mindsets, we allowed ourselves to become subject to what is known as separation from the Father. And the worst thing we should ever try to do is become separated from the Father. And if I can say this rightly to everyone listening, the Bible says that the wage of sin is death. However, the gift of Elohim is life, eternal life, through Yeshua HaMashiach. So now that we begin to look at this, I want you to pay attention to it. It's interesting, very interesting, how we prepare ourselves to live for him in his created space. The world does not belong to you. It does not belong to me. We are stewards over it. So now we must become compliant. How do we become compliant to something we don't even understand? That's why the Bible says, acknowledge him in all your way, he will direct your path. But more importantly, he also states and indicts to us, this is so important, study to show yourself approved. Come and sit with me. Be with me. Assemble yourselves together. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We want you today to learn significantly what Yahweh our Elohim really does mean and intend for you. Well, we got so much more to talk about. I hope you're ready for it because I'm excited. It's going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be a wonderful time. We got some studies for you today. We're going to talk about how to walk in grace. Many of us have been walking and trying to walk it out, but we're really not walking in the grace that Elohim has provided for us. I want you today to walk in grace. You're going to learn what grace is. It's not what you thought it was. I know. I get it. But you're going to learn today what grace is. And that's a wonderful thing because grace has a way of preparing a man and a woman and a child to do even the more extraordinary things than they ever thought possible. You think you bad now, wait until he really gets hold to you and he really starts showing you what his power looks like. The Bible says that you and I ought to be able to get this. We should be able to be strong in Yahweh and in the power of his might. Well, that's what we're going to discuss today. What is grace? How do we stand in him and be all he wants us to be? You're going to learn today. Trust me. Yeah, it's a good day in the neighborhood. All right, listen up. We got a few things to do. I got to catch my breath, but I want you right now to stay close. Don't go nowhere. Yeah, you can do it. I want you to stand right there. Don't you leave me. Don't you walk away. You stay right here. We got a few things to go over, a couple of announcements we want you to get, and then we're going to move forward and press into what Yahweh has for us this wonderful day, another day of when he has given you the chance to get your life, your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul right. It's going to be a good thing. So stand close. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Want to learn more? Need a church home? Join us every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for dynamic teachings in and through the Word. You can also join us, if you can't be here physically, on Ustream. That is the letter ustream.tv/Apostle VW Jones. We hope to see you then. Until we meet, Shalom. Like your social media? So do we. We're there too. Like us, follow us, join us. Go to our website, vwjministries.com, and find out where we are in your social media sphere.
Paul, that I be weak,
but you made me strong.
They thought that I would crumble,
but they were so wrong.
You held my hand and
encouraged me to stand.
When they said I couldn't do it, I heard you say,
you said yes, you
gotta
can.
Sing it one more time.
Yeah. All that I knew weak,
but you made me strong.
You see, they thought that I would crumble,
but they were so wrong.
You held my hand,
encouraged me to stand.
When they said I couldn't do it, I heard you say,
what your current condition, God says, Elohim says, yes, you can. And that's what we're going to talk about today, a little bit more about this walking in grace. Well, Exodus chapter 19 is where I want to begin our studies from today. I think it'll be very interesting for most of us to see that there are certain things that Yahweh has already prepared for us who love him, desire to be in him, and in spite of ourselves, walk because of him. Look at Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to go down. You know what? Let's start at verse 1, because we're in still that affected season. Though it's ended, it was called Shavuot. And in Shavuot, there were so many unique and spectacular things that took place that we oftentimes don't express within our studies within Christendom and or our orations within Christendom, but we should. Take the opportunity to, in all of our getting, get the understanding of what took place. Well, let's go now to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to talk more about the time of Shavuot and how it actually impacts us when it talks about grace. You and I have a grace that isn't our own strength, our own intellect. It is really a actual element and component of the Most High to grant you and I what we consider to be victory. Not victory just to say, oh, I won, but victory over everything in your life, adversities, conflicts, infirmities, physical impalements, personal impalements, personal failure, all of that. It's wrapped up, and grace helps us to literally live through it, even though you should have died in it. That's why we call him gracious and graceful, and he's awesome to us. Well, Exodus chapter 19, we're going to talk about what happened at Sinai. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, and the same day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai, the wilderness of Sinai. Sinai is also a wild place. And it is a place that, Yahweh himself has pulled and taken the people of Israel to on purpose. Verse 2 says in Exodus 19, "For they were departed from Rephidim, and they were come to the desert, the dry place, the wild place of Sinai. And they had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mountain. And Moshe went up to Elohim, as was his custom. And Yahweh called to him out of the mountain, saying, Moshe, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and thus shall you tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, those who held you bound, even though as Jacob and Jacob, you were disobedient, you were idolatrous, you were not obeying me, but obeying them that had rule over you by way of bondage and means that were not appropriate for how I wanted you to be dealt with. But then I also want you to know, I want you to see what I did to those Egyptians, and I also want you to see Israel, how I brought you up and out on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. Now, as I was listening and reading this passage, and as I say listen, I mean I listen, because when you read the word out loud, you actually hear it. It comes back into you. So for many of you, for a study point, I want you to sort of grasp this idea that when you read your Bible, don't read your Bible in your head. Never read the writ just in your head. Now, if you are in a place where it would be obtrusive, or if it would be in a place where it would be offensive for you to read because others, don't want their space invaded by your words, or it's just an appropriate time, or you're just reading, tight, dense area of people, then of course you can read in your head, but still, even when I do, I sort of mutter. I just whisper it under my breath, just so the words are getting out into the atmosphere. Because when you speak his word, it changes your atmosphere. It really does. So when you read the Bible, and I say I'm listening to what's being read, I use my voice on purpose to read the writ so that my ears can channel and cause a funnel of what I hear to enter into my heart. That's what David was crying when he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And oftentimes when we allow ourselves to not only read with our eyes and intake with our eye gates, but if we also allow what has been taken into our eye gate to be enunciated by our vocals and our esophagus and our mouth, our ears will also now receive within their gates the very same thing. So you're getting the word in triplicate.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds weird, but it's the truth. You'll end up getting the word in triplicate. And by getting the word in triplicate, well, you got once for the Father, once for the Son, once for the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. But at the end of the day, you're getting it in redundancy, the same thing. It doesn't become remedial. It becomes redundant. And redundancy of a subject matter is the best teacher. And if worst case scenario be the only case scenario, you will have redundancy cause you to be able to better recite at a later time. So memorization of said writ or said passage becomes inevitable. And when the time is necessary and right, Ruach HaKodesh, if it's in you, will pull it out of you when you need it the most, and you'll find victory through his word. So here I say, as I listen to what I'm reading to you, that Yahweh says in verse number 3 of Exodus 19, Moshe went up to see Elohim, and Yahweh called out to him from the mountain and says, tell the children of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You've seen what I've done to those who have tried to hold you bound and held you bound for 400 years and oppressed you unnecessarily, even though I granted them favor when I showed them through Joseph how to actually make it through the seven-year famine. While they had 7 years prior of increase. He says, but I want you to recognize this, children of Jacob, when you've been disobedient, children of Israel, when you are considering being obedient and have been obedient, I want you to understand this. Remember what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings, and how I brought you to myself. You know, it doesn't matter what bondage you're in, whether you're in some form of depression, some form of mental breakdown, some form of confusion, some form of ambiguity about a circumstance and a conceived idea that you've already tried to make sense of, and it just doesn't seem. Anything that can hold you bound, whether it's condemnation of others, whether it is condemnation of yourself, whether it's self-pity, whether it is guilt, blood guiltness, unforgiveness of yourself or others, whatever holds you bound, you have to remember, if you give your heart and your life over to Yahweh, like these in Egypt, he will bear you out on eagle's wings, and he will bring you unto himself. Do you know what that means? I don't think you really follow me on that, but I'm gonna do my best to help put some form of clarity to this for you. And he brings you out on eagle's wings. It becomes such a beautiful understanding of who he is and what he does when he bears us up. Let's go to Isaiah 41 so you understand what this eagle's wing is all about. Look at this. Verse number 26. I want to read in Isaiah 41, 40, chapter 40, rather, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Matter of fact, I'm going to chapter 40, verse 21. We're going to do quite a bit of reading today on the broadcast. And if you have any ideas or thoughts, you know the best way to get those things handled and looked at and all of that. But look at this in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 20, 21. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Is it he that sits upon the circle of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. Just stay close. Watch what we're talking about. That brings the princesses to nothing. People who think there's something in your life and they can do anything they want to do, trust me, Yahweh will bring a prince to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Let's finish reading the writ. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown, says Yahweh our Elohim. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, thus saith Yahweh Sabaoth. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, then, will you liken me, Yahweh says to Israel, or to whom shall I be equal in your sight, says the Holy One. Listen. lift up your eyes on high, and behold is that has created these things, that brings out their hosts by numbers. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, hallelujah, not one of what he created fails. Why say you, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? Why do you say what you say, Jacob? Why do you attempt to speak, Israel? My way, Yahweh says, is hidden from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Now, I want to back up into verse 27 because I read that wrong, but I want to make sure we get it read right. Yahweh is asking a question to Israel. The question is this: why do you say, Jacob, and why do you say, O Israel, that my way is hidden from Yahweh and that my judgment is passed over from my Elohim? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Oh, children of Israel, that's you. If you're listening to this and you believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, you believe that he died on the cross, he gave his blood, his life, that the sin you would perform and have performed and have done would be washed away, that the judgment that should come upon you, Yahweh has already paid the price through his dear son. Look at what he says. Verse 27, why say you, Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Elohim? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting Elohim, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint, neither does he get weary, like he gets tired? He doesn't. There is no searching of his understanding. So no matter how many people try to search me out, no matter how many people try to lock me down and hold me to a particular way and vein of thought and process of thinking, it can't be done because I have created all that you are using in your world. Verse 29 says, look at this. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Look at what he's saying in verse 20. He says he gives power to those who faint. I know I've felt like fainting a few times, but you know the Bible says if you just acknowledge him in all your way, he'll keep you from fainting. It's a deep thing, but he'll keep you from fainting. And sometimes you just want to faint. Sometimes the pain, the hurt, the disappointment, everything that goes on in life can get the best of you. And this is a part of walking in grace. Look at what he does here. He says he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might. Sometimes you use all the strength and all the energy you have trying to live the best you can in spite of you, in light of you, and you just seem to have your strength zapped and taken from you. He says, when that person becomes weak and faint, and it seems that they have no more might in them, if they call upon Yahweh, now this is contingent, okay? He's talking to Israel. He's saying, if you believe in me and you come back, you honor my word, you do what I'm asking you to do, if you've lacked in might, you've lacked, and you become faint in heart, faint in spirit, I will, this is deep, I will, I love him for this. He says, I will increase your strength. Oh, hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing when the enemy thinks he has you down, and Yahweh gives you a dose of strength at the last minute. Look at what he says here. He goes on to say, look, Israel, even your youth, I'm in Isaiah chapter 40, I'm on verse 30. He says, even your youth are going to faint. And your youth, your strong people of mankind, your youth, they're also going to be weary. Now, he told you up here earlier, he says, I don't faint, nor do I get weary. But your youth, your pulchritudinal structure will become weary and you will faint. And your young men, your strong men, shall utterly fall. So Zion, even when you fall utterly, I know I have in times past, when you fall utterly, Yahweh will still increase your strength. A just man falls seven times, but you get yourself back up. You don't wallow in your mess. You don't wallow down there. You get up. You put your face before him. You give your hands to him. You ask him to wash your hands. You give your head to him. You ask him to change your head, your mindset. You give your heart to him. You ask him to create in you a clean heart, renew a right spirit inside of you. And you stand up and you ask him to deliver you from guilt, the blood guiltness of your past. Look at what he says here. Look at this. I'm talking about how you can walk in grace. This is so important. He gives power to the faint, verse 29. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even your youth shall faint and be weary, and your young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, read this. It says, but they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. Oh, I love this part. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We talked about in Exodus chapter 19, before we came to Isaiah 40, that Yahweh says, I want you to see what I did to the Egyptians. I want you to see what I did to those that held you bound and try to keep you as their own personal captive, for their own personal pleasure, their own personal joy. He says, I want you to see how I bore you on eagle's wings. I carried you out on eagle's wings. Eagle's wings are some of the strongest wings of the fowl, of the birds of the air. They are the most majestic predator of the air. They are an awesome species. He says, I bore you out. I pulled you out of bondage of these Egyptians, people who try to put their thumb and their foot on your throat. I bore you out. You didn't have to do anything but acknowledge my words and my prophecies to you. I bore you out on eagle's wings, and I brought you up here to myself. Now, back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31. It says, but they that wait upon Yahweh, dear hearts, you shall renew your strength. Now, your heart got to be right. You got to be blood washed. You got to be cleansed. You got to have forgiven. You got to been confessing to Elohim alone of your sins, and making sure that you told him you're going to live it right and do it right. He says this, but they that wait upon him shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Now, mind you, in verse number 30, he says, your youth, they're going to faint. Your youth, they're going to be weary. And why he says the youth, because even the older people could still go and carry on a good walk and a good run for a good distance before they got weary. But your youth always, in many cases, tripled or quadrupled the distance an older person could walk or run. So he says even your youth that are doing way beyond what you do, they're going to eventually faint and they're going to become weary. Oh, and your young men, the ones you really hold stock in to help defend your country, help to get your work done, they're going to, at one point or time, utterly fall. He says, but if you wait on me, hallelujah, and allow me to direct your path, glory to the name of Yahweh our Elohim, you shall renew your strength. While you're working in an environment that exasperates your strength. Mm-hmm. Those that wait on Yahweh shall be able to mount up on wings as eagles. Every time the form of Egypt tries to come upon you, Yahweh will give you the ability to mount up with wings as the eagles fly to get you above the snake line and out of the bondage that's trying to enclose around you. Look at this. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, it gets even better, because the more I read about what he does and what he says in this writ, he begins to give us an explanation that all his specific work he does for us is designed to keep us in a way that he himself will always be looked upon as the one who got us the victory, as the one who gives us the strength. That's what he wants. He wants us to know that. He wants us to know that it is him that gives and grants all this energy, all this strength. You will mount up on wings as eagles. That's what happens when you're walking in grace. You mount up on wings as eagles. You run and you will not faint. You walk and you won't become weary. You won't become tiresome. That's what it means to walk in grace. So we always say that grace is the unmerited favor of Elohim. Well, today I want to submit to you that what grace really is the power of Elohim. The power that he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, he causes you to be strengthened. When you thought you just had no more to fight, you thought that you just had no more to go on, Yahweh our Elohim, through the power of Adonai, the spoken word, which triggers Ruach HaKodesh to do the work that he does for the life of the believer. See, we always think and say that we're a believer in Messiah. We always think and say we have the right and the and entitlement to call ourselves a Christian, but yet we don't always desire to obey his word. Whether you obey his word and you fall into sin and some folly, or you don't obey his word because of anger or frustration, you must realize that his word is what a believer is governed by. So here he tells Israel in Exodus, again, chapter number 19. I'm going back quickly because we got a little bit of time left. I got to get this over to you. In Exodus chapter number 19, he says in verse number 4, let's go back to 4, verse number 4. He says, you have seen, Israel, what I did to the Egyptians who tried to bind you up and hold you bound. They had you for 400 years. You see how I broke you out of their mental and physical prison. And I brought you up with wings of an eagle. And I brought you out to me, to myself. Now, therefore, listen to this. Now, therefore, having viewed that, verse 5 says, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it says, now, therefore, if you will obey my voice in all your deeds. Now, I know you say, Apostle, I don't see in all your, it doesn't say that. Here's what it says. It says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed. Now, the word indeed there is a compound word that actually expresses and abbreviates a phrase, in all your physical deeds. That's what indeed there means, in all your physical deeds, all your physical actions. So a deed is an action. So if you touch something, that's a deed. If you strike something, that's a deed. If you wash something, that's a deed. Now, making sure that you do it out of obedience, because I've asked you to. And when you do an event, when you do a work, when you do an action, because my word commands it, you are obeying my voice in your deeds. So verse 5 again says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my commandment, my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me. This is Yahweh our Elohim speaking. This ain't Moses speaking. This is Yahweh saying, if you all will keep my commandment, my covenant, and if you will obey my voice in your deeds, then I will make you a peculiar treasure unto me that will be above all people. Just so you know, because the whole earth belongs to me. That's what Yahweh says. Verse number 6 says, and you shall be to me Yahweh a kingdom of priests, and you shall be a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak, Moshe, to the children of Israel. Now, as we talked about, what's it mean to walk in grace? Well, this becomes the goal of walking in grace. Now, as we've always taught you, grace is the power of Elohim, not the unmerited favor. Though grace, in one of the definitions of the writ, does imply one who stoops down to a lesser and extends favor. Now, the extension of favor is along the lines of what it means to have, quote-unquote, mercy. It's a, the definition was always used to say grace is the unmerited favor. But actually, unmerited favor, when you've done something dead wrong, out of order, and the wage of sin is what? It's death. That's right. So when you sin, you are destined to die, because sin and its payment, once fully completed, brings about death. Now, death doesn't mean a physical pulchritudinal death. Death here means a perishing. The word perishing is a word that indicts you will have an eternal separation. You will have a spiritual separation from the favor supplier himself. You will be separated from Yahweh, your Elohim. You will be separated from Ruach HaKodesh, your Elohim. You will be separated from Adonai, the Word, which is Elohim, because you are in sin. He cannot inhabit a body that is in sin. Now, again, when you have sinned, you separate yourself. The Bible declares, as Yahweh said, your iniquities have separated you from me. But when you repent of your sins, look at this. This is where it becomes your advocation, your advocate with the Father. When you repent of your sin, the Bible says if a man should confess his sin, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, Yahweh is faithful and he is just to forgive you and cleanse you of all your sins. Now, when he cleanses you and he forgives you, he then reconnects you. So you're no longer in a state of death. You're in a state of forgiveness. Watch this. You're in a state of unmerited favor, which is mercy. And then you're also in a state of grace. That means when you repented from your sins, he will give you the power not to go back that route again. Now, at the end of the day, it is an issue within his design to bring you out, I like this part, on eagle's wings. You see, because eagles, in an exhaustive study we've done in time past, and we'll probably reintroduce it to you and submit it in some form or another, eagles are the most powerful fowl, powerful bird in the heavens. They are technically the king of the sky, like lions are the king of the jungle. So when he says, I brought you out on such a powerful thrust, I hastened you away from the bondage of your earthly peers. I bore you out. Now, since I brought you out, if you will obey my voice and all of your deeds, and if you will keep my covenant, then after you've kept my covenant, after you've obeyed my voice, then shall you be a peculiar treasure to me above all people. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words Yahweh spoke to Israel. Now, how does that connect to us walking in grace today and understanding the process of walking in grace? Because grace becomes a significant part of what we do and how we live. And when we understand what we do, how we live, we process the grace of Him for the goodness of Him so that we can become all that He needs in us and through us. So as we continue to read in Exodus chapter 19, the Bible goes on to indict in verse number, elders of the people. He put before them all what the word of Yahweh was. Verse 8 says, all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. Moshe returned and the words of the people back to Yahweh. And then Yahweh did something very interesting here. Yahweh said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear what I'm saying, even though I'm saying it to you. And then they will believe you forever, because not only am I going to give them what they're good at, the ability to be nosy, I'm going to purposely come down in the cloud. I'm going to speak from the cloud so they'll see that I'm talking to you, but I'm going to let them hear what I'm saying to you so that when you go back down to them and you tell them what I've said, because you've never misinterpreted me, they're going to believe you forever because they know you heard me and they saw you hear me, and then you did not come back and change the words I gave you. That's why they're going to believe you forever. And Moshe told the people the words of Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Moshe, go to the people, sanctify them today, and sanctify them tomorrow. And this is the part that I love so much. He says, sanctify them today, sanctify them tomorrow, and let them, wash their clothes. And let them be ready against the third day. For the third day, Yahweh will come down in the sight of all the people among Mount Sinai. Now, the big part about this verse 11 is that Yahweh would come down upon the mountain. But this particular time, the first time he does this, he gives them the Torah. He gives them what you all call the Ten Commandments. We like to think that he just only gave him those Ten Commandments that were scribed in stone. We also believe he gave him a good portion of the Tanakh in that one setting. So on this day, Yahweh says, I'm going to come down in front of all the people in a cloud, and I want you to go back and tell them what I said verbatim. They will believe you, and they will literally, the Bible says, they will believe you forever. So Moshe does as is instructed. He then tells them to sanctify themselves and wash their clothing. Why should you wash your clothing? Only those who've been washed in the blood can receive these instructions. Only those who have decided to get all the dirt out of their systems, all the dirt out of their garments. I remembered a long time ago when I'd stopped smoking cigarettes. And I was smoking 3 packs a day at that time. And I would always smoke with my windows down in my car. I hated to be in a cloud of smoke, but I didn't mind, you know, a touch of smoke in my environment. So I would always drive in my car with my window cracked so that it could take the smoke out of the car. I knew some would get in the car, but I'd literally even position my head to blow the smoke out of the car, you know, into the wind. So my car, for a smoker, relatively stayed smoke-free. But the problem was, though it was really relatively smoke-free because I didn't wind my windows up, I didn't smoke with my air conditioner on so that the smoke would get into the filters and come out when the demand of air was pushed on. But I would smoke with the windows down, a window down or two down, so that we can get a current and a flow to take the smoke out of the car quickly before it could settle in fabric. The headliner, and so the carpet. And so that's how I would smoke. Now, here's the piece. As I was smoking, I'm thinking I'm doing good, keeping the smoke off of me. Then I put a shot of cologne on. I suck a Velamen or a Tic Tac at that time or Altoid at that time. And I felt that, you know, I covered the smell of smoke on me. Truth was, when I stopped smoking, as meticulous as I was about smoking when I did smoke, as I stopped smoking 6 months later, I came back to all the clothing that I used to wear in that era of time. And in that one spot that they were in, it was the most horrible smell I had ever imagined. I thought that though I had washed those clothes, I thought though I had washed my hair, that the smell of that smoke had left and would not become a problem. And the truth is, once you begin to do a certain thing, it becomes the aroma of you. Now, you have to wash from that. And the only thing that takes and erases that aroma of the thing you have become accustomed to and become a part of is the blood. Though your sins be as scarlet, the Bible says, I will wash you whiter than snow. So the significance of him telling them to sanctify themselves, listen, he says, I bore you out of Egypt, out of your bondage, where you were made to serve other gods. You were made to be idolatrous, contrary to prophecy I've given you. And you, Israel, or you, Jacob, would do what you needed to do to get by. But when you come out now, I want you to see what I did. I discomfited your boss. You've walked out with your boss's wealth. They're still suffering and mourning over the loss of their firstborns. But now that I've brought you out, I want you to be to me, and I want to remove your memory. I want to remove the stench of your sinful ways from me. So prepare yourself by washing your garments. So this was symbolic in the washing of the garments as it is in truth of Yeshua HaMashiach. When you and I come to him to repent, him washing us, hallelujah, in the blood. You no longer have that stench, that filthy smell 6 months, 7 months later, still lingering and hanging on to you. I know people who have smoked and they claim they'll stop smoking for a period of time, and you can still smell the smoke in their hair. You can still smell the smoke in their fingernails. It's just because it's what you've done for so long. It's what was done for so long. And I was one that when I came back after not smoking for three months, something like that, and I came back to the items I used to wear when I did smoke, even though they were cleaned, I was a very clean person, even though they were clean, I now could smell just how terrible I must have smelled to a non-smoker, even though I was draped in cologne and I used this meticulous system of getting the smoke out of the car and into the air outside. So sin does the same thing. It's very meticulous. Some sin could look almost godly. And no matter how meticulous you are about your sin, no matter how meticulous you may be about it, it still has a stench on it. And no matter how good you start looking and how meticulously you carry out your activity, that stench can only go away by the blood of the Lamb. And once you've confessed to Yahweh, once you've given him your clothes to be washed in his blood, he then removes that stench. Though your sin be as scarlet, I will make you whiter than snow. No man can do that for you. Only Yahweh can do that. That's why he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but they now walk after the Spirit of Elohim. Well, my time has come to a conclusion. I'll finish this part two on walking in grace on this coming Friday, so I hope, or Wednesday, I hope that you'll be there. We'll be doing this, finishing up on our blog talk next week, next broadcast, and we'll be starting a new subject matter for our Bible studies, and you're going to want to know about that one as well. Well, I'm not going to advertise it here online, but I want you to be aware that Yahweh is bringing greater revelation, because I've washed my garments in his blood. How about you? Have you washed your garments in his blood? Will you consider his will over our will and walk in the grace that gives us life, hope, health, and strength? Well, till we get the opportunity to really connect and meet again, we say to you,
the Bible declares, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the Word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway, right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team, a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word, and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.